Sippers, welcome to this episode of the Tea With Me podcast with me, your little mate Shane Tull. Before we get into this episode, let me tell you about our Patreon, patreon.com/teawithmepodcast. Bonus episode on a Monday, which we call the Special Brew. Live stream every Friday with some of your favourite comedians. You ask questions as it goes along. We interact with people. We've got loads of specials on there. Stars in Your Eyes is coming soon. Only the Patreon is an exclusive. And every single episode that we've done, all the bonus episode, all the live streams are all there as a big vault you can go back into. And vaults are class. Like all the wee goblin guys in Harry... What do you call the wee fellas you work in the bank in Harry Potter? Gringotts Bank?
Yeah.
It has loads of vaults and... you know, that's that. Patreon.com/TeamMePodcast. I'm touring everywhere. ShaneTalkComedy.com. Wrapping up the Mummy Tour. So it's coming to mainland Europe. It's coming to Australia and New Zealand. ShaneTalkComedy.com for all those. And I will be playing, and tickets go on sale Friday, the SSA Arena with my brand new show, Full House. Tickets are coming out this Friday. We hopefully are going to have early access for patrons worked out by then. That's what we're trying to do, so you can get tickets there before anyone else. But please, I'm doing the full race, so you need to please God come to that. Otherwise, that's going to be an expensive mistake. We are sponsored by not. Oh, Dan, you want me to say something about Mysteries as well?
Live Mysteries tickets available on Patreon, 3rd of March at the Mandela Hall.
Took the words right out of my mouth. Me and Kieran Bartlett doing Live Mysteries. What can I say what the topics are?
Yeah.
We're doing the moon landings and what's Kieran's?
Gladiator or gladiators.
Famous gladiators throughout history. Not like the Wolfman and all, and Ace and all them, but like full on gladiators. It's going to be great. You could dress up as historical figures and do whatever you want. I think Kieran should wear some sort of toga. Might be nice. So yeah, Mysteries Live in Mandela Hall should be great. Let's just get into this episode, but before we do, and by the way, this episode was so much fun, we are sponsored by Manscaped. What can I say about Manscaped in contractually 1 minute? These guys are great. These guys are amazing. The best guys in the pube business, or lack of. They are the number one in men's below the belt grooming. They've got every sort of product you can think of. The products coming out of their ears, which they also have products for, aka the weed whacker. Does your ear hair, does your nose hair. They've got everything. It's not just pubes. You know what I mean? Like you would think maybe it's just pubes. Like a bit like, you know, a little bit like Craig David. You might look at Craig David and think, does he only just do like love songs? He can rap, he can DJ. You know, he can produce, he can kind of do it all. And Craig obviously has that famous song, What's Your Flavor? What's Manscaped's flavor? Assorted. Because they do it all. They've got the hedger. What's that for? Your face?
That's for the beard.
That's for the beard. All right, and that's one day stubble you're seeing on me right there, so I might need to use that tonight.
No, you'd need the handyman.
I need the handyman.
That's a little one you use.
That's a wee one I use. Doesn't even leave a wee bit of stubble. It just gives you a clean shave. I'm bringing that to Dubai tomorrow. Because it's compact, it's really nice. And I've said before, I've never charged it. It's still going. I should bring the charger because it won't work. What I'll do in Dubai, I'll have half a beard and I'll think that looks terrible, but no one will notice. Manscaped are brilliant. They sponsor the podcast from nearly the very start. Use the code TWITHME for 20% off and free shipping. It's all in the description. This episode of the Tea With Me podcast is one of the most fun ones that we've done in forever. Really, my guests are Tim McGarry and Colin Murphy. Bit of confusion with the dates for Colin, so he comes in late at this podcast and just really treats it like a court case and starts presenting evidence that it was my fault, and it kind of was my fault that he was late. But Colin and Tim are obviously two legends of local comedy, still very much doing it, still very much on tour, both great stand-ups. Tim, as you know, such a talented writer, almost a historian. We're talking about Mysteries. Tim basically is a historian too. We talk about his series, The Long and Short of It, and Colin is just one of the comedians that I kind of grew up watching locally, and then one of the guys who's still just absolutely at the top of the game. He's just done his own tour, Opera House, and we get into it about some of the worst shows they've ever done and corporate gigs that they've done, and just a delight to just sit with them and do the episode. And, you know, Tim finally answers some allegations that have been hanging over the likes of him, Richard Branson and Stephen Hawking for quite a while. This is Tea With Me with Tim McGarry and Colin Murphy. Tim, you're just back from the Maldives.
Oh, hang on. You're not doing your intro with the tease and the manscape and all of that?
I don't want to do it.
Those before I commit. That's very good of you.
I don't want to do it in front of... Sometimes I get a bit nervous.
You get fed up, do you?
Yeah, no, I just... You know, I like to have fun, and when I'm doing the reads, I just feel like...
You like to have... You don't want to have the guests going over and box,
sake. Because then the guests might... You know, sometimes the guests heckle me.
You take the piss out of
you. And then I start to feel like a substitute teacher. That's right. The energy I start to have, where I'm going, yes, but shush, because I need to... Contractually, we need to do this.
You could be... You're there like a Jim McGaw from the 1980s, aren't you?
Who's Jim McGaw?
Jim McGaw! Crazy Prices. That's Crazy Prices. Don't you miss it.
I remember.
No. Jim, look up Jim McGaw. Yeah, he was local. And right. he did the local for Crazy Prices.
Right.
And he was kind of stiff and wooden, became a cult hero for being brilliant.
You're like Jim McGaw.
Yeah.
I asked you to describe Jim McGaw. He's stiff and wooden.
Yes. That's super Crazy Prices. Don't you miss it. You look it up. It's brilliant. Anyway, sorry.
So I'm the young Jim McGaw.
You are the young Jim McGaw.
Now, you were in the Maldives. Is that a weird time? Is that a suspicious time to go away after certain flight logs came out? Is that a weird time to flee the country, Tim?
Flight logs? I missed it. What was that story?
Yeah, after flight logs for... Epstein's Island were made public.
Oh, please, really? We're in deep already there, aren't we?
Is that not an odd... I thought that was an odd time for Tim McGarry to leave the country.
No. There was a mix-up.
People said you fled in the night.
I fled. Yeah, there was a mix-up. I was supposed to go to Malaysia and I ended up on the Maldives. I recommend the Maldives. Very nice. You just got to be very careful when you go to the Maldives. You got to be very, because there is a serious danger if you go to the Maldives that you could bump into Ian Paisley Jr.
Yeah.
And he's in a better villa than you, and that's, some other fucker's paying for it.
I thought you were away.
You don't want that. Definitely not. But that's the first decent holiday I've had in years. I haven't been away in 2 years, and January's our quiet time, so we just go right 2 weeks doing nothing.
I never wore flip flops.
I'm a brogues man on the beach.
Brogues on the beach?
Brogues on the beach. Yeah, I arrived in the Maldives in a jacket and coat.
because I was going to... You were saying a proper holiday. Now, in my head, I think proper holiday, lying by the pool all day, reading a book, got the headphones in. But I see you, because there's two types of people, and you're the other type of person. You're like a smart culture kind of guy, unlike me. I can see you going around looking at a bit of the history of the place, doing a walking tour, all that kind of stuff. But what's your
Yeah, no, like? I do like a city break and stuff, but I was in a tropical island where the walking tour took 15 minutes and there's feck all there because there was nothing there 20 years ago.
Right.
From villas. And the nice thing was lovely people there, full of brilliant, and the staff were brilliant and all of that. Crack was very good.
Now, obviously anywhere you go here, you're going to get people, whether it's Get My Headpiece or Blame Game or Stand Up or whatever, people shouting out Tim or maybe quoting some Get My Headpiece. Any action in the Maldives?
None.
No.
None whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I'm okay about it.
Yeah.
I'm okay. You know, just...
I think my dad went to the
Maldives. My travelling companion did occasionally shout, just to make me feel better. He said, go.
You're like, Ian, stop it.
Oh!
I'm nearly sure, maybe I think that's where my mum and dad had their honeymoon.
The Maldives? Yeah, it's full of honeymoon couples and stuff like that.
So it's like tropical.
It's tropical.
Swim?
It's just very hot.
Do you swim?
No, not really. I was on a jet ski for the first and very last time.
I can't picture you on a jet ski.
I went and looked at dolphins. There were dolphins, and they were very nice. They were pretty. I don't really like water.
Yeah.
And I don't really like the sun. So where the fuck I was in the Maldives?
Malile would have been way better.
Malile would have been better and a lot cheaper as well. You can scuba dive and you can... I didn't scuba dive, but you can. You can go on a trip and you can see all these brilliant, brilliant tropical fish. But you can also get that effect by going to your local Chinese and looking at the fish tank.
Yeah.
And go,
that's always...
And you save yourself thousands.
That's how you know a local Chinese is going to be good.
Yeah.
Fish tank. Yeah. Fish tank's always good.
Size and colour of fish tank, yeah.
I'm going away tomorrow and I'm getting back into the way of taking books on holiday.
Yeah.
Because I'm going without the kids. When you take the kids or one and three.
Oh, you could be getting away without the kids.
And I'm going to read a book on... one book on Genghis Khan.
Right.
And the other book I'm going to read is about this this guy who used to be the king of Mali.
Right.
When the Mali Empire was big. And he's called Mansa Musa. And I get obsessed with telling this story. Basically, the Mali Empire had loads of gold. This guy went on a pilgrimage to Mecca from Mali, brought 14,000 camels, all with gold on their back, started dishing it out every country he went to because he wanted to get everyone talking about him.
Right.
So he literally he went through Egypt. He's given everybody he sees bars of gold. Everyone thinks he's great. When he came back, after being away for a few months, he'd bankrupted like every country that he went through because inflation had just... Because everyone was a millionaire. So he like came back to this path of destruction that he left in his wake. So I want to find out more about that. But I on holiday, I like to just sit and relax. And what I really like is, you know, back in the day, if you maybe go to Tenerife or something,
yeah,
get the guys coming around with the fruit, guys coming around with the big donuts. Yeah. I like it when they come to you.
Yeah.
I like that.
All right, yeah.
My dad used to get massages on the beach, which I was always uncomfortable with from Asian ladies.
Not on the beach, no.
On the beach.
Well, I did bring some books with me to relax. So I read one about the Cromwellian massacres of the 1640s.
nice relaxing book.
I read one about the split in Irish football, which was a very good, the FAI and the IFA, which was very good.
Right.
And what else did I read? Oh, I read Giles Brandreth's autobiography, which is kind of random.
Three? How long are you away for?
2 weeks.
Three books?
Four.
I look through the pictures and then I read the first 14 pages and then I'm done. And I just put my headphones in. Not this trip, but when you're traveling, when you're on planes and all that kind of thing, I imagine everybody wants to chat to you. If it's people from home, where are you going? All that kind of thing. Are you good with that?
I'm all right with that. Yeah. No, my main gripe with airplanes is fucking leg room. Being 6'4", I have to pay extra to get leg room most of the time. And some of the time, a couple of those flights to and back, Abu Dhabi and then Abu Dhabi to Mali. I mean, I was sitting there with my knees behind my ears, you know, and the fecker in front of you puts their chair. You know those rude feckers who don't ask you before, and you're just sitting quietly, and then they put their seat back.
So I don't know what the etiquette is on that.
Well, the etiquette is don't fucking do it. That's the etiquette, or at least go, hey, by the way, I'm going to do this. But
so you turn, but yeah, not ask. You turn around and go, I'm going to be doing this.
Yes, but you should at least ask.
I think if the seat in front of me is tilted back, maybe this is terrible opinion.
Yeah.
Then I go, all right, well, I'm going to put mine back.
You're all right. Yeah,
but that's not fair on the person behind.
That's not their fault.
I know.
It's not their fault. It's the person behind.
Do you know what's worse? I do it gradually. Like, I'll do it over the space of an hour.
So they know the other guy doesn't notice.
Over the space of an hour, so they're going, that must just be the way the seat was.
Where are we going to train my mouth? Yeah.
talking about breaks and that kind of thing, you're about to go back into another, give my headpiece tour. When did you start... When the TV program first aired, which was what?
1998.
Right, and then was there a tour off the back of that straight away?
The first time I was ever in the Opera House was, in 1998. We did a show, a kind of sketch show, before Give Me a Head Piece came out, called A Night at the Opera House. It was a sketch show and bits and pieces, and I thought I'd made my career. I'd been in the Opera House. You've obviously sold a million of them. It is kind of still the best venue in Northern Ireland.
It's just something so magical. And doing more than one show in it, you know, you're doing a run in it. There's nothing better about going back a few nights in a row and feeling like...
We always finish the tour. We always finish. We do the tour all around Northern Ireland, and then we finish there with the 8 or 10. I think we're doing 10 this year, sort of finishing the full week there. And there's nothing better than landing up. And finally, you don't have to drive to Strabane the next day. You don't have to go anywhere. You're there in the Opera House. You know, you've two a day sometimes. You know, but the crack is, it's just a lovely, lovely venue.
And I think punters love it too, because it is right in the city centre, as in you can get a train and it's a stone throw then from the venue. And I think it's great. I was asking you just before we record about what happens when... Because Give My Hairpiece is topical as much as it can be.
Yeah, bizarrely, it is. Even the TV shows, as topical as we can keep it. You know, we filmed with four episodes, we filmed them sort of mid-November, the ones that went out in December and January there. And obviously we have plots and stuff that are timeless, but you can also, you know, we can throw in topical jokes, so we were able to get as much as possible. The trouble with Northern Ireland politics at the moment is nothing is fucking happening.
Yeah.
It's as boring as hell. Yeah. And fucking nobody's doing.
I was saying,
you don't care anymore.
I'm
you don't
so...
Care. Well, I think we've all got to that point of, you know,
so
what's
disconnected.
Happened. Couldn't give a shit.
I think it's better, like I've said before, like, I understand that it's probably an ignorant stance, but I find it that sort of hopeless that when I read about it or look at it, and that kind of thing, or hear it on the radio, it just makes me sad. It just puts me in a bad mood. So I choose to just, I've said, put on like my big, my big space helmet.
Yeah.
So I just put that on, and nothing can get in.
Yeah.
So I live in there, so I'm not hearing the outside noise of. Is that calm?
I was listening to. I had made the misfortune. It was away for 2 weeks. Nobody didn't listen to anything. Had a great time. Came home on the way up this morning, listening to Nolan, not with Nolan, but with Holly Hamilton, who I like, and Holly, and who's on the Bucking Show, but Jim Alistair, about the protocol, and you know, this Ulster being subjugated and all of that. Oh, here he is.
Ladies and gentlemen.
The late. Oh, well, he's
we'll
been
cut
assaulted
that out. We'll cut that out.
He's been ladies assaulted by a light.
Colin, it's my bad for the dates.
Colin Murphy.
It was my bad for the dates. I reread and I could see how it could be misconstrued.
Yes, he got the dates wrong.
No.
Who got the dates wrong?
It was the wording of the...
Oh, no, he's got evidence.
this. See how you would interpret this.
Right, okay.
So it was...
Mr. Murphy was supposed to be here earlier, just to clarify.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
Yes.
It's 20 to 11.
Go ahead. Sorry, Sam.
I've been here Mr. from Murphy. 10 o'clock. But anyway, go ahead.
So he said, we're 16th of Feb, suit.
16th of Feb?
16th of Feb. I said, yeah, works for me. We love Hartback for that one.
Yeah.
You like that? And then it said, and then Shane replies, I've just realised I'll be in Oz.
Oh,
on that date.
Oh,
then are you free Thursday by any chance?
Right.
So how would you take that? But hold on, in my head I said it like this: you free Thursday by any chance?
No,
as in like this Thursday.
No,
there's
Thursday.
No emoji that goes.
No, if I had said, "Are you free that Thursday?"
Thursday of that week is
said,
what you meant.
Free Thursday.
He interpreted it.
Yes, because that's a Friday. You see,
yeah,
the 16th. And then I said, yeah, works for me.
Oh.
And then I just realised it was not. And then I said, well, I, in fairness, replied, how the hell do you forget Australia? And Thursday is good. And then blah, blah, blah.
Hold on. Colin said, didn't say Thursday with a date after. Just said Thursday. So we're just talking Thursday.
Yes, all Thursdays.
We're just saying Thursday.
Right. All Thursdays.
No, but Thursday the 15th of February.
No.
Yeah.
This Thursday.
Yeah.
No,
and then...
Or maybe, well, if you go to Oz, you don't really go for a day, though, do you? So
I was offered 3 days in Oz once to do one gig. I'm not joking.
Did you do it?
No. What's the fucking point of that?
I'm doing... I only have 1 day either side.
Really?
Of this trip, yeah.
But one you have a jet lag the fuck?
Yeah.
Sorry, by the way, the conclusion to this was how I realised that it was today.
Right.
It's because
where's
I got...
a message going, where the fuck are you?
I got a strangely passive-aggressive...
from Shane Todd?
Strangely passive-aggressive message.
It was 4 minutes
message.
Past ten.
At 7 minutes past ten, in fairness, yeah, I was 7 minutes late.
Right.
It said, do you want tea or coffee?
Oh, is that passive-aggressive?
That is such... That's like something your ma said. My ma said to me last week, there's been a tap, right, that's been... Well, it isn't dripping, right? She's convinced it's dripping. It's not. It's leaking out the bottom, slightly, right?
Right.
And it has been for a few months. And the other day she said to me, she says, where would you get a washer to fix that?
Right, but I thought it'd be rude if I said, where are you?
No, I would have gone for that. That would have been...
Yeah.
It was that one of those ones where, you know, your arse just sort of opens a bit and you go, oh shit, I'm supposed to be somewhere.
So Tim...
Last year.
With your legal background.
Yeah.
With your legal background.
Yeah, yeah. He's wrong. He's wrong. I would interpret that as...
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. So you got a phone call?
Last February, I got a phone call Sunday afternoon. I was heading up. I was actually going for a walk. Not like me. But I was halfway up a hill. And I got a phone call from St. Anne's Cathedral saying, hi, are you, Tim? I said, I'm grand. She said, where are you? I said, I'm up a hill.
That's
you're not coming to St. Anne's? I said, oh, yeah, we're coming to St. Anne's in a couple of weeks to do the rehearsal for Do My Head Piece. She said, no, you're presenting the... You're handing out the cheques this afternoon for the Black Santa.
Oh, the collection, yeah.
Which I've done 4 years in a row.
Right.
And the guy asked me to do it, and I completely... And the first time in my life, I missed a gig and just completely fucking forgot.
There's
about
nothing
it.
Worse than the, where are
completely
you? Completely. You need to be in the place.
Agent rang me once. I says, where are you? I said, I'm getting into bed. Right. You're supposed to be going on stage in Drogheda in 5 minutes. The guy's a bit worried. Oh, what?
It's full house. Is that your fault?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, no, it wasn't. No, it was.
Did you get the Thursdays wrong?
Yeah, I thought, no, it was going to be an Oz.
Yeah, Just drop that in. I'm in oars.
No time either side. This is my second trip in a year to Australia. No time either side.
Yeah.
None?
No, no time.
But you're just totally jet lagged, like when you get over this.
Just play on. I try and like time sleep, you know what I mean? So I walk up hills. I just go up a hill. That's fine. I think this is maybe like age wise the last year I can get away with that. I'm enthusiastic enough that I can just get through it.
I did it when I was
30.
And I was wrecked. Yeah. Like totally wrecked.
Yeah.
I won't go into that.
I do.
It messes with your body rhythms, that's all I'll say. Do you know what I mean?
Well, go to Australia.
What do you mean your body rhythms?
Well, yeah, you know, your natural sort of when you're gonna, you know.
So you're doing that at different times?
Yeah.
What's the problem with that?
Well, when you're asleep.
Did you shit yourself in your sleep in Australia?
No, that's the weird thing. But I just can't remember doing it.
You sorry, whoa.
But it was in the toilet. It was in sleeping? The bathroom.
Right.
But it wasn't necessarily in the toilet.
So, well,
you shit in the sink of Australia?
Jet lag.
Not even.
A BJ?
Just in the
area.
Yeah.
You know the way you have a wet room? This is more of a shite room.
You woke up the next morning and there was a shite on the wet room.
Yeah.
Oh, are you sure it was yours?
Well, there's nobody else in the flat.
Well, somebody might have broken in and that's what I would have said. Somebody else broke in and shat on me.
Shat on you?
I'm
taking a dark turn.
I'm thinking of a different story there.
It's this guy's just back
Scat from man.
I couldn't believe this. Tim told me he was back from the Maldives and was on a jet ski while he was there.
Jet ski.
I don't know what the fuck are you doing on a jet ski?
I'd not known
exactly. I wore flip flops for the first and last time.
Imagine you're on a boat and you drive past that Tim McGarry on a jet ski. That's such a sight.
And flip flops and you on a banana boat. Tim McGarry on a. Don't be stupid.
Colin, what kind
of. What the fuck were you doing on a jet ski so seriously?
I know, don't ask.
Were you wearing? You had flip flops?
I was wearing shorts as well. Like, I had one pair of shorts, and normally I had jeans and coats.
You're wearing them on your head.
Anyway, I know, on a very relaxing holiday. Yeah, it was.
Tim, is this like a new you on the jet ski? Like, would you.
No.
Would you get a motorbike or anything like that?
I wouldn't mind. I always wanted a motorbike.
Yeah.
You're old for midlife crisis.
No.
You can't live your 120.
End life crisis. Give me a Kawasaki 250.
That's more of a Swiss end of life crisis.
That's right. Colin, what kind of holiday guy are you? Because Tim said like this is the first time where he's like just been like on the beach. He has no choice but to just like give in to just like sit in the sun and all that kind of thing because there's nothing else to do really in the Maldives. Yeah. But are you like a tan on the beach guy? Are you like
no? See, I'm going on holiday next week, and this is for the first time. And it's going to be one of those, once in a lifetime.
Where are you going? Can you say where you're going?
Barbados.
Oh, nice.
I know. And my wife used to live there. You see, when she was a teenager,
right?
And she's going back. She's never been back since. So we've been planning this for a couple of years.
Really?
So we're going to go. And I've never been on a fly around and but there's plenty of stuff you can do. You can go swimming and snorkeling and all that sort of thing. I do all that.
Speak to the jet ski actually. Give you
that's it. Give me some
20% off.
Open her up. Hold on tight, boy. It's like a motorbike in the water. Yeah, that's all. That's people in Northern Ireland are brilliant on them.
Oh, watery Northwest 200. Oh,
yeah. It's global warming. No more.
What was the first foreign holiday either of you went on? Like when you were?
I was in Donegal.
I went to England.
The kids, the kids wanted to go to Disneyland. I took them to the Famine Museum in Doak. See what the Brits did to us.
We didn't go.
Daddy's away jet skiing.
We didn't go. We went to Newcastle. That was our family went to. The family had grandparents bought a house in Newcastle. And there were eight, because they were in those days, big families, big Catholic family, eight kids. So there were eight families shared this house in Newcastle, which was fucking freezing and a bit miserable. So that was my holidays for 2 weeks in Newcastle.
It's lovely.
Cool.
First foreign holiday. Well, my aunt took me to me and my sister to Paris when I was about 14, I think. Mm. Yeah, I went to Paris. It was great. Smoking gitan out the window. My like, tongue went yellow.
from four, it was Tenerife, me and my dad. Every year, Tenerife.
Four?
Was it? This guy, he's still going. He's still keeping it going. And he still tries to talk me into it. I'm like, I'm now married to two kids. He's like, come on, the
Does
lads.
Does he call it Tenerife?
Yeah, Tenerife. Or just Refe, if you've gone that many times. But yeah, he constantly tries to talk me into it. He's like, leave your wife and kids, come on, let's go. The boys.
Oh, he doesn't want to bring your wife.
No. He's like, the boys, come on.
Oh, the lads.
Yeah, he's like,
what's he doing?
Me and my wee son, I'm 35, man. what is it? So he will
jet ski.
Sit on a lounger
oh.
the whole day. And I mean the whole day. My dad looks like, you know what David Dickinson used to do?
Oh, yeah.
My dad's like mahogany. Yeah. My dad, yeah, that's what
he does.
He'll
he
do.
Read or anything? Does he?
Not really. He'll also wear.
What does he do? Just so, lie,
he'll just lie there and tan.
Winking at women.
But he still wears. close to that. he still wears Speedo. My dad's 74, right? So he wears Speedo, like old school Speedos.
Yeah.
But what he'll also do is walk around in those Speedos and then just a t-shirt. But the t-shirt makes it look like he's ooh, nothing on nip. Under the yeah, under the Speedo, yeah, yeah. So he'll do that.
And he's 74, so it looks like he's forgotten to put on a
shirt. Yeah. You know what he do? He makes people uncomfortable on Tenerife. Yeah, yeah. That's what he'll
right,
do.
But at that age, you get away with it.
Yeah.
Don't you?
But yeah, he just, no, he's beach. That's all my holidays were with him. That's we just sit in the beach.
Boring as hell, is it not?
No, I loved it because you just play in the water and that kind of thing, but like, I don't know if I can do it now.
I mean, you're a kid, it's great.
No. Now I need to do a mix of the beach holiday and then activities. And that kind of thing. I can't sit still on holiday. Like, I need constant, like, something to do.
Do you swim? See, I couldn't swim. I only learned how to swim about 12 years ago.
Do you do lessons?
I got lessons off this woman, and she was brilliant. And within two lessons, I was swimming. I still can't do... Crawl, can't time the breathing. And she says, and then just turn, and I go...
Right.
Yeah. So, breaststroke, so I won't drown.
Yeah.
But I can snorkel and do all that stuff. And can you swim? That. You can't swim.
Just about.
All right.
Just about, but not very far. Which is why I was on a jet ski. I'm like, what the fuck was I doing?
Yeah.
Jet ski.
You humbreaker. Did you do any?
Well, we're talking about you with Get My Headpiece live shows having to change the show like on the day or on the week of. Is that the same with you with stand up? So say you're on tour with a stand up show. Is much of a political in that if something big happens that week, will you change anything in your show? Like, factor
nah,
that in?
Nah.
No. Nah. no, work. Sometimes there's been, I've had a gag or something and something's happening in the news and you go, that's a bit sort of, and then in the context of that, the joke, because it's nothing to do with that. But they might go, hold on a minute, something about oil ones or something will happen, and then I have some stuff about oil ones, and it's just sort of,
right.
Yeah, people will go, it's not right, him saying not about that, and that's just happened up the road there.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though it's nothing to do with this, and it was in a different country, it's yeah. not right. Yeah.
Like, have you changed stuff with the Gamaya Beast tour on the day?
Oh, yeah, like? Yeah, we've changed stuff in the middle of the run, yeah. We changed an entire show in Edinburgh. Because we were shite. Genuinely, the first time we went to Edinburgh.
How many shows in?
We were a 2 week run, and it was about five shows in.
And you'd done previews as well?
We had, no, it was just, we were kind of students, and we were half of it was fun, but half of it wasn't. And we got a review that said the Hole in the Wall gang started well, doing an interesting piece about a tortured peasant in South America. Then the torture turned to the audience as the Hole in the Wall gang went through a series of sketches that weren't very funny and seemed to take forever to set up. And that was the nice start. It got worse
right.
after that.
Yeah.
The guy ran the theatre got a good bunch of people called the Bodgers. Do you remember Jim Jack Dougherty?
Yeah, the Bodgers.
They ran a comedy group. They were a brilliant guy, and they came down and said, guys, you're trying to do Monty Python, you're a bit shite. Speak in your own voices, and some of you can act, but clearly some of you are here for a piss take. So me and Damon and Michael literally went to a bar and rewrote the entire Edinburgh show in 2 days and rehearsed it again and redid it. And by the end of it, it was a bit better than shite. Not much
quote
better.
On the poster.
Not as shite as it was at the start.
See, I couldn't go into my head. I really struggled with learning lines or with remembering bits, so I couldn't turn something over quick like that. It would take so many times for me to...
Really?
Yeah, because I wouldn't like to be word perfect on anything, so I'd struggle with the limited amount of acting that I've done or anything, I struggle with the lines big time. I think it's because stand-up, you don't need to have lines. You can mess about. You can.
But I only remember the new stuff.
You only remember the new stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you're doing, even if it's shit, that's the only stuff I can remember.
Right.
Because it's part of your brain goes, I really want to try that.
Yeah.
And the rest of your brain's going, don't do that.
Yeah.
I did a corporate a couple of weeks ago. Holy fuck, I haven't died.
Where, can you say where it was?
No.
Right. I'm cursed at the Slave Donard in Newcastle. I'm cursed.
Oh, right. No, I can't say that then. And no, it was in the Culloden.
Right.
And
That's a hard room.
It is a hard room. But yeah, and it was the middle of the day.
I did. I was there. I had
It was just Jesus.
By the way, how long was your set?
Oh, I had to do 25, half an hour.
Right.
The 20. And I think the round of applause was for doing 20. Not half an hour.
So much of it hinges on how you're brought on. Sometimes you'll get someone who's great.
It hinged mostly on me being shit.
Right.
Who was it? Because I could do it next year.
Oh, yeah, don't worry. I've recommended you.
I did...
I did the Crohn's disease one.
How am I not getting that?
I know that you're gay.
I'm the Crohn's kid.
This was a few years ago, and the introduction to me was a woman making a very impassioned speech about how terrible Crohn's was, and don't let it get you because you're a good person. Don't let it define you, Crohn's. Yeah. And then the introduction was, I think it's the comedian now. That was the introduction.
Speaking of talking shit.
And she walked off, and that was my cue to walk. I think it's the comedian.
I did a gig in Limerick. And I was doing support for some party for Kildy. And we were doing a tour, and they said, oh, we'll do a charity sort of sponsorship of a thing, so and they collect in at the interval. I said, all right, the show we film before bring you on.
Never upbeat.
Of course, didn't think of asking. And then it's this big screen, like huge, in the University Concert Hall. Never, like, I don't know how many people holding that. And so this screen goes, then the lights go down. And then this 5-minute video of one woman, right, being interviewed, and this one woman's harrowing tale of date rape. Right? I'm not joking.
Sorry, I laughed at that.
Seriously. Her talking and clearly, you know, upset, but getting through it all. But the audience are in tears, and we're backstage. Like, and there's people, honestly, and then it finished. And then the screen went, and there's silence in the room apart from sniffing, and people go, and then over the PA, the guy in the sound desk goes, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome on stage, Colin Murphy. And there's that was it.
I've been for corporates getting William Thompson to come with me and saying to the people that book me, I'll bring a support act at no extra cost to you. Who'd do 5 minutes before, so it just kind of helps to set the room. Yeah. But we did it was just coming out of the end of COVID. I was doing like a lot of wedding gigs. William's come with me, do 5 minutes beforehand. And it was the first gig since COVID that we'd done. So we're nervous for that, and it's a wedding. And the lady, bridesmaid or whoever, bringing William on, said, I'd said, if you can say William Thompson, great local stand-up comic, and then we've got another act coming on. You know, I was like, don't even mention, because the people at the wedding didn't know who was coming on. So the lady takes a microphone and she's like, ladies and gentlemen, if everyone could be quiet. And full disco going on. Like, she goes,
She stops.
She stopped everything and she said, we've got a special guest, Shane Todd, coming on. But before he does, here's his mate. That's it. Didn't say he's a stand-up. So Willie just has to walk out, and they're like, he must have given him a lift here, and he wants to do a turn. And it was just the most unintentionally disrespectful thing. But Slave Donard, I'm cursed at. I did Culloden just before Christmas, and weirdly I didn't do many corporates this year, but got two bookings on the same night in the same hotel, different rooms.
Yeah.
So it was like the dream. You know what I mean? So it was like literally in between. Weirdly in between this. Maybe cut this out because it's just weird. In between the two, there was like an hour and a half, so I asked if I could use the pool at the Culloden, but I forgot to tell William. I was going to say, like, bring your swimming stuff if you want, we can swim and do sauna or whatever. But so in between the shows, I just went swimming. I And then he just sat and watched me in a suit.
In the viewing. Like a really posh trainer.
It looked, it looked like I'd asked him. You know, I was like, come watch me swim.
Right.
But the second gig, so the first gig was...
Looked like you paid him.
Paid, yeah, yeah. But the second one was in the...
Put a disabled boy to watch you swimming. Yeah.
Hey, you get dressed up.
Can you do this?
Posh.
No, you can't. Many legs can you do, Thompson?
Hey, he's sitting there in bread, though.
Throwing croissants at him.
The first gig was in the big room and it was good, and then the second one was a small one. It was a retirement do for a guy, and I'd said at the start, everyone had kind of had phones out at the start, that's fine. Then I did a bit kind of a joke about that. It's basically my way of being like, put the phones away, especially like, don't record video, because I was like, this is only for us. And there was a guy probably my age, the most intense guy you've ever seen, kept recording. Now only I can see it, and it was really, it really wound me up. But obviously, I don't want to show that I'm wound up. And I'm used to the phrase to you earlier, like, sometimes I give across big, like, substitute teacher energy. So I'm trying not to, you know, I'm like, so then I start going back and forth. And, but the guy just will not stop. And he's not making a joke of it.
Yeah,
he's deadly serious. And eventually he put it away, but it wound me up for days after. I just couldn't. It's like an entitlement thing or something from him. I don't know why. I just found it really odd. You know, really odd.
No, were you doing well?
I was doing... But what he was recording was me being like, thank you, that's it. Yes, get that away. Sure, get that. So he could have put up, you know, a clip of me looking like I'm having some sort of breakdown.
Yeah.
But eventually he did. I got a woman to go over and tell him to put it away.
Yeah.
I got like a toll, basically, because there was a lady who was like secretary for the company. I was like, can you take that off him? And then after that, it was fine. But sleeved honoured, I'm cursed up. I had one that was like the worst I've ever done. It was a day-long conference. I was at the very end. I was booked for like 8:30, went on at 10. I was like, you have booked for 20 minutes. And I did that thing of going, sure, well, I'll do 20 and see how it's going.
Yeah.
And they said, yeah. I just planted my feet, did 20, no laughs. But I did 20, and then they wouldn't pay because they said to my agent, he's booked for 25. I was like, I asked you if you wanted less. But the week after that, I was back at Sleep Donner for a different one. And I said to the staff, were like, back again. I was like, I went, trust me, it couldn't get worse. Spoiler alert, it could. The next one was just worse. So I just, I'm cursed in that venue.
It is worse when it's the same staff and you go back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you struggled the last time and they look at you going, oh, and you're back again.
It feels like you're lying when you go to them. It's not normally like this.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, no, you see me at a comedy club? I'm like, okay, well, I won't. But one of the ones I love the most is Europa.
Yes.
That room in Europa is great.
Yeah.
That big room.
I don't mind the Titanic. I quite like the Titanic. The big room and the stairs. I've done lots in there. I've never had
That's because your affinity with the sea, you see. And you find, you know, the ocean.
I usually do them in flip-flops and
shorts. Yeah. I did one there, and they were having a raffle too, and they were like, is there any way you'd like give out the prize at the raffle?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah.
Is this after?
Well, I did my set, and I said, can I make sure we do that after? They said, yeah. Set, got nothing. Raffle was great. Because everyone that comes up, they were like, you can take the piss out of it. So we're like having a laugh with people that are coming up to pick up awards and taking the piss out of the prizes. So now, I should have done the raffle first, because it would be a great, like, I might just do a raffle. Kieran Bartlett does raffles at his shows, like, that's not a joke.
Is that right?
Kieran has a raffle at his live podcast and his shows. Things that he never spends money on the prizes. So it's like, Joxer, the cafe up the road, sponsors podcast, so the Joxer vouchers. There's tickets for future Kieran Bartlett shows. What else?
Usually some kind of food he gives away. He gets like
he gets Tato to bring in, or something. Cans of boot. But so it's all like contra for him. But yeah, he runs raffles at his shows.
That kills how long?
No charity element to it. No charity element to it.
So this is instead of writing material?
Yeah.
I did one of those raffles, and it was the prize was a romantic weekend for two away in some swanky castle hotel thing. And the guy was a guy won it. And the guy came up and I said, oh, you must be delighted, you know, absolutely delighted, you know, romantic weekend away for two. He said, no, not really. I said, why not? He said, well, last time I went on one of those, I ended up with a third child we didn't want.
in front of 500 people. And I said, is your partner wife here with you? She says, that's her over there. I go, for fuck's sake. That's how romantic Northern Ireland is. Aye, thanks a lot. Free weekend away. Fucking.
That's an Oriel Oster. It's going right to feet.
Colin, do you want a bottle of water?
I wouldn't mind.
Yeah. Do you want tea or coffee?
Tim, do you want a bottle of water?
Do you want tea or coffee? thank you very much.
Colin, you've just finished touring, haven't you?
Ages ago. Yeah.
It was a very, very good tour. Ow. It was an excellent tour. I saw at the Opera House.
You did?
We were just in.
Didn't pay
Opera House, it, best venue.
Fucking
best.
Brilliant tour. The best. He's very, very good.
Yeah.
Best very venue good. Ever.
By the way, age thing. Do you know who Jim McGaw is?
Yeah.
He told me I'm like a young Jim McGaw.
Yeah.
Where he's selling his tea and his man.
I'm doing my ad read.
Yeah.
Jim McGaw. It's
Jim McGaw. Crazy prices.
Don't you miss it.
Don't you miss it. And it's like that slightly off thing. Don't you miss it. It's always at the wrong, slightly the wrong thing. He was still working.
Yeah.
He was managing the Super Value up in Carriedhoff.
Right.
And people walk in, and it was like seeing somebody that used to be in a band.
Yeah.
You walk in and go, that's Jim McGaw.
I go there sometimes. I bet you have seen him. Yeah. What kind of age of a guy would you know?
The one that's knocked down, no, it's not.
Him?
No.
All right. we were just talking about, and it's difficult before we recorded, difficult for Tim to give him praise because he's sort of Tim's nemesis, but I thought Dave was great on the Blame Game. On the most recent series.
Oh, right. Nemesis?
Oh, yeah.
We don't like to talk about it, but me and Shane have had to intervene on Dave's behalf with his problem.
I don't know how this started, but Tim did a podcast once and accused Dave of being a full-blown drug addict out of nowhere, and it's really spiraled since then. So,
you're supposed to lose weight with heroin. That's not supposed to be the. Well, I've seen Trainspotting, I'm pretty sure.
Do you not remember he disappeared to his dressing room for half an hour and wouldn't talk to anybody and all that? You weren't like knocked and he wouldn't answer. You don't remember that?
So you jumped straight to.
And I think David said that Tim might have been visiting certain islands.
Yeah.
You know, with a lot of other big name celebrities.
Oh, right, yes.
Tim making his escape from Epstein's Island.
Being chased by...
I'm pretty sure that's labeled.
Like Panorama.
Prince Island Andrew
McGee,
on the back.
That's where he was chased. That's the only island you would.
I've been to Rathlin.
I need to get back to Rathlin soon for a gig.
Yeah. Oh, why did you do a gig?
I've done
there.
Like 10.
Oh, you booked me to do a gig in Rathlin and...
We had to cancel it.
We're in Ballycastle.
Yeah.
We had to cancel it because it was going to be wet and windy. Oh, we were sweltered in Ballycastle.
So we booked it. We're going to do 2 days of gigs in Rathlin. Barra Bess jumps on. He's like, full weather warning. You know, it's like red alert, all this kind of stuff. It's going to be torrential. The boats wouldn't be on. So we moved to Rathlin Island International Comedy Festival to Ballycastle. Yeah. So it's Rathlin Island International Comedy Festival on Ballycastle.
Yeah.
And the hotel, the Marine Court there, were like, yep, you can have our room. Great. And I was saying to people, it's in Ballycastle, but still proceed with caution to get there, even if you're from Ballycastle. It's the nicest day of the year. It was the nicest weather day of the year. It was beautiful. We're sitting outside in the sun, being like, Barra, what's happening here? And it just stayed lovely the whole time.
Do you reckon Barra was on holiday and he just rang it in?
Yeah.
Whatever.
But yeah, the gigs in Rathlin are, it's so good.
They're not from Rathlin, the people are from...
No, most of them are, yeah.
Are they?
But you get some people coming in, yeah.
Is Rathlin on a Gael Gore place as well?
Not really. No.
There are people there that do. But it's got like the bar has a function room attached to it, which holds about, I'd say like 100, you could pack about 120 into it. But last time we did it, it was a summer's day, and we just did it outside, and it was just, just great. It's a novelty of it.
Yeah.
You're on an island. The Guinness is brilliant. Everyone raves about that. And it's class. It's class. You get the boat over to it. And then we got a lunatic that takes back on a speedboat last time instead of the ferry. And that was fun.
on a rib, on one of those big...
Must have been, yeah.
Yeah.
It was great. Where have you...
It's bringing refugees over.
I did a...
No, Tim is on a jet ski.
What a time.
Of shoulder.
Look at display team.
Well, if he stops the boat, he can't stop the jet ski.
with like corporates, have you done any, have you been away for a corporate? Have you had someone go, we'll bring you over here to do this, or has it all been like local kind of stuff?
I've done them in London and stuff, but I've never done, overseas
ones. Worst one ever. I don't mind them. I haven't had really a bad one since.
Never say that.
In a very fancy hotel near Kong where they filmed the castle or something. It was swanky, swanky. The money was far more than I'm used to.
Yeah.
And it was for an English firm, but it was a bunch of lads from Leeds who were very drunk and wanted Roy Chubby Brown, and I was too clean for them. And it was horrible.
Have you done overseas ones?
Corporate? No.
Because people do get offered them.
And Andrew Ryan does a hell of a lot. Andrew's everywhere in corporate.
He does golf, he thinks.
He does what?
He plays golf.
At the start, I genuinely thought you meant fencing.
He plays.
I was like, he includes
he's
that.
He's in the golf, so he can do.
Is he in the golf?
He can colour up. You know,
yeah,
he can.
Guys.
He can put the slacks on.
Jesus.
I fucking hate golf. I would ban it. I wouldn't ban it. I would re-educate them. I'd bring them to concentration camps.
Not ban it.
Golfers, you know. I just say it's not a fucking sport.
Have you seen this?
It's my rule. If you can smoke while you're doing it, it's not a sport. Snooker, darts,
a diamond jumper, and slacks. It's not a sport.
That show's just the Graham Norton hosted. Has just gone on Amazon. Last one laughing or last.
Watched it last night.
Do you know this? Do you know what it is, Tim?
Yeah, I've heard about this.
So all these comedians from down south in like a kind of Big Brother house setup, and if you laugh, you're out.
Yeah, it's called LOL. Yeah. Nobody from up here was invited to join it. ironically,
they've carried Kilty. They've filled their quota.
They might have offered it and gone LOL. I'm not going to get your order. It's just forget it.
You probably gave one of the people in there. We all have gigged with people that were in there, but I was very curious about what it was going to be like.
Yeah,
I think it'd be difficult to make people laugh in that setting. I thought they'd be gigging for each other or something. That's what I thought.
Well, I thought there'd be challenges set up. I thought there'd be specific things.
It's an RT thing.
No, it's Amazon Prime. Yeah, it's worldwide.
Big budget. Like,
they've done it 27 countries, I think. I just covered just placing water, but you're probably comfortable with that now. You probably see one. And it's 27 countries, and everywhere it's been. It started in Japan, I think. Then spread out, and so they've done it in Ireland before. They've done one in England,
and the object is not to laugh.
The object is you get a bunch of comedians in a room, and it's done. They're really open about it. It's done in 6 hours,
right?
So it's like a doddle of a gig to do. So you're in for 6 hours,
right?
And you just have to not laugh, but try and make the other people laugh.
Yeah.
But you're not to laugh while you're making the other people laugh. And then their performance bits. There are wee performance things that you can do.
But that looked like the worst kind of performance ever.
Yeah.
All those cameras, no audience.
No script.
Two comedians who are intentionally trying not to laugh.
Yeah.
I don't think that show works, because I think we're more dour than anyone. Like, everybody would win.
Just put your TUV face on, you'll be fine. Just think, protocol!
I watched the first episode of it. It was funny having David McSavage was the last person to go into it. That was like Cat Amongst Pigeons.
When he walked
in, you could see people like, oh, Christ.
Yeah, he started just behaving like he was having a breakdown.
Yeah.
Really, he started putting beans in his pocket.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, he was...
Was this like a Big Brother house or something?
He was funneling things into his pocket.
Yeah,
that would make me laugh more than someone doing a performance piece. If I saw someone doing something slightly weird like that, that would probably get me laughing.
Because I lived with Jason in Edinburgh for about 4 years. We shared a flat together.
Okay.
And every Edinburgh. And it was great crack. It was... He just, like, used to make me laugh so much.
Yes.
Just by not doing stuff. Do you know what I mean?
See, I think Jason Byrne would be the one that would be hard to make laugh. In a setting like that.
Yeah.
I could see him just, like, going into, like, a character almost, and just being like very difficult to laugh.
Yeah, it's Yeah, everybody sort of went down the I don't know what route they were going down, to be honest. It was kind of weird. Some people did try to do slapsticky kind of things.
Yes.
And Jason had the winner, which was the fart thing, the fart putty.
Right.
And just timed it. And it clearly worked on it. His range of farts was quite phenomenal.
He went erratic for that. Yeah.
It was unbelievable. It was like
do watery farts.
Tiny squeaky, big water, long drawn out, hangover fart, touching cloth,
all of them. But you, we used to offer like anything back in the day, like almost like reality series, like the BBC or broadcasters ever come to you. You guys in the past and be like, what if comedians did this, or what if a group used from here did that, you know, traveled to somewhere, or
no.
I did when we did the first sort of reality kind of thing. I was in a theatre company. We were going to Edinburgh to do a show, and Newsnight were doing this thing called Fringe Firsts.
Right.
And it was following different people from different backgrounds. Like, there was a couple of comedians, and there was I think Ahmed was one of them. Ahmed Jalili was a comic, and then we were a theatre company. We were going over putting on a play. Someone else was doing a dance thing or something, and then they came over and filmed us getting ready for it, filming everything, background, everything, and then came to the flat we were in, followed us around, performances, first nights, first reviews, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
What year roughly would that have
been? Ooh, 92.
When was Find Me the Funny? Was that the one that...
I want to say 20...
Was that...
2009?
It was Mickey and all that.
Were something you in there? Like,
yeah,
that. I auditioned
right.
for it, I didn't get in.
Yeah,
everybody auditioned for it?
Yeah.
It was me and Aaron Butler were the last two. I'm guessing like 2008. Or something, 2008, like that.
Yeah, would have been around.
That was because we got told. So for anyone who doesn't know, it was a BBC Northern Ireland reality comedy show, and they were like, "You're going to get mentored. All the local comedians are going to get mentored by a big household comedy name, and then get taken to the Edinburgh Fringe, and we're going to document it all." There was rumours that it was Chris Rock. The mentor.
Oh, how little you know.
Then it went to Northern Ireland.
Then it went to Jimmy Carr. Then it, people were like, Jimmy Carr.
It's Jim McGaw.
And then they went, the only thing I'm going to tell you is it's American. It's an American guy. So who's it going to be, you know? And it was a guy called Curtis Matthews, who had, to be fair to him,
the done, Curtis Matthews.
He'd done stand-up before. So he'd gigged before and he was American.
Not Chris Rock from Port Glenelg.
And he came to do McHugh's. They were filming him. So he came to McHugh's Comedy Club before they started filming. And he like was doing a guest spot. And they were like the American comedians coming to do a guest spot. And nobody knew him. Nobody knew him here. And we all went to do auditions, and he was the judge. Rachel Tucker, the West End actress, was a judge. John F.D. Northover, local TV director or producer or whatever. And you had to just go in and like do stand-up to them. But we were all so new to it. And it was me and Aaron Butler were the last two between us to get a spot. And he got it. And it was just...
And look at him now.
But it was... We thought this was... We thought anyone who got it, their career was made.
Yeah.
Like, it was make or break for everyone. I was like, well, I might as well quit. You know, 19 or whatever. I was like, I'm 20. I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And I remember just being so jealous because they were getting to go to the Fringe. It was paid for.
You didn't live in a house or anything, did you?
No, no. And the plan was they would tour. So you would go and see Find Me the Funny live all around the country in these big theatres, and they did the Ulster Hall to, I think, like 100 people bought tickets, and then they papered it a bit. But it was still, like, for them that were involved at the time, it was brilliant. And it was sort of, I would go to all the showcase gigs they did, so it was kind of part of it. I got to see a lot of it, and it was cool at the time, like, for them to be involved with, but it was never executed the way it should have been.
What was your man like, the American dude, when you saw him in McHugh's?
I was on just before him, and I had a good night. And I think he did fine. And when I didn't get the spot, you know, when you're just so young, you don't understand what TV producers and all do. they got my immediate reaction of not getting through, and I may have gone down the conspiracy route that I had a way better gig the night before than your big mystery host. So I was like,
I could just see this. He's fucking shit.
That's exactly. I was giving off, and I'm like, who's this weirdo that got through? Aaron Butler's there punching the air. He was ringing his mum in front of me. They made Aaron ring his mum to bet mummy I got through.
And yours beside him?
And I'm standing beside him.
Like, no, you ring. Yeah. I did that at
Daddy, can I go to Tenerife?
I did that at the IFTAs down in Dublin. It's sort of again this thing which you go, oh, the IFTAs, what's the IFTAs? And you go, oh, it's like it's the Irish BAFTAs. It's not. No, it is. It thinks it is. It's everybody knows everybody, and it's like a gadu. And right. So we were doing, and you know the way the split screen thing.
With all the
nominees are.
Yes.
And so the panel that Shaw used to do in RTE was nominated, and we'd been nominated for before, and we never win. And but they said, does anybody want to go? Basically, because the producer was sick of being embarrassed about not getting it, and Dara didn't want to go. And so I said, I'll go, I'll free dinner. So I went split screen, and the cameraman was a guy who worked on Blame Game. So I said to him, right, just keep on me, just don't. Right, whatever happens, and he went, right. And so he's there.
The award, so no matter who gets read out, linger on you.
Yeah. So the award before they're getting into position, so there's crews all over the place. And so I'm at a table with Jim Sheridan, the director, and Ciarán Hinds sitting beside us. And so we're sitting in this, and then there's a couple of other people who are at the front, and I thought, we're at the front, we're going to win this year, we're going to win. And then this place went, and the nominees are, blah, 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 and the winner is, and then they announced a different thing, and everybody went like this, and I went, fuck's sake. I'm like, fucking Jesus, fucking wankers. And then, my wife was there, and she went, fuck off. And then I got up and stormed out of the place. And the guy kept the camera on me, and I'm disappearing into the distance. And people are putting their hands out to shake hands. I'm like, fuck off. And then I realised, then it was outside. And I went,
go.
Well, shit, can't get back in. I have to wait. By the way, for ages.
Tim, is the long and short of it just finished the series?
There's a radio series on at the minute, the 8th radio series, but the 4 TV ones are done. They went out in September. I think they're still in the iPlayer.
That's been running for a long time.
It was about 7 or 8 series on Radio Ulster, me and Davy Hume. And when the TV show started, people finally realised why it was called The Long and the Short of It, because they didn't realise it's called The Long and the Short of It, because I'm 6'4", he's 4'11½". He genuinely is 4'11½". Jim Cray, the cameraman, we did it. I first met him 10 years ago. He was doing a thing about Ulster Scots and all of that, trying to steal money off the Ulster Scots community. Is there anything in Ulster Scots for Teagues? A few quid. That's about the answer. David is a big Ulster Scots. He comes from a place called Ballycarry, full of history. The first Presbyterian church in Ireland is in Ballycarry, 1613. Anyway, he's a brilliant graveyard with lots of history. And I met David Hume for the first time ever, we're filming this bit about the history of Ballycarry and Ulster Scots and blah, blah, blah. And he's a small gentleman. And Jim Cray, the cameraman, films us. We're walking around the cemetery and blah, blah, blah. And then after 10 minutes, Jim takes us aside, me and the director, and says, look, there's a problem here. I said, what's the problem? He says, see when I film you and David walking down... I said, it looks like you're taking a child away. So if you watch the documentary, Tim McGarry's Ulster Scots Journey for 23rd Day, I meet David at the gates of the cemetery, and then we're on a bench. But he's a lovely, lovely guy. David's a really good guy. I've done him a number of
times. You can't even interview him either, if you're standing and cut between you.
Do the Ulster Scots community respond well to it? Like, do you ever get it? Do you get any negativity with it? Or,
well, no, that's how it started with the Ulster Scots. We got a commissioning letter from the Ulster Scots Broadcast Fund, which was the most cheekiest Ulster commissioning letter ever, which is basically,
do you want tea or coffee?
You're going to turn up in time. It was basically, congratulations, you got the commission. Do not take the piss out of the Ulster Scots. Do not mock us. Do not take them. And you go, relax. They just needed
take it a bit easier, those boys. Yeah, some of them take themselves too seriously. But no, it's gone very well. And me and David do occasional live shows. You know, we do.
Was the letter written in Ulster Scots? Here.
Congratulations, boy.
Quite take on the pass.
what's the, when you're doing live shows with David for a long short of it, is that, does that change as it goes on, or that's very much just set in stone kind of?
No, that changes every night. That's right. It's kind of like a public debate. We did one for a couple of years ago about the partition, about to celebrate 100 years of Northern Ireland, or some mark 100 years of Northern Ireland, you know, two different perspectives on partition. Yeah. I didn't celebrate that. Cut that out. but you know you've made it in the world. I was doing a gig up in Coleraine for Coleraine Football Club, and a guy come up to me and says, I really enjoy that now, long and the short of it. He's a TV counsellor.
Right.
He said, it's the best thing you do.
So it's a
backhanded
well.
Yeah. compliment, if ever there was one. But no, it is. It's good. It's unusual cross-community history, and we take it seriously. I mean, we are proper differences between me and David. You know, we're different political perspectives and all of that. But it's illuminating. It educates people, and we learn bits of lots of history. And some people take their history far too seriously without really knowing what the fuck they're talking about.
We're guilty. You're telling me. Me and Kieran do a small run of podcast series called Mysteries, where we look at a big political situation, historical situation. See, I don't know fuck all about it, and see is it more myth or more history? And we're clearly presenting it as we're two comedians. Kieran has a, what does he have, PhD?
Yeah.
Right, I have an HND.
I like the way you go, what has he got? But he's got a PhD in what?
See if it, classicals.
Classics.
He's doing that
media at the minute. He's working on media. A second.
Journalism.
Is he technically doctor?
He's doctor. No, not technically. He'll tell you. The reason I looked at you to say it is if I get it wrong, he'll ring me, right?
Is he professor? He's not professor, he's doctor.
Dr. Yeah. Kieran Bartlett. And I'm Shane Toddy, HND, our national diploma, equivalent to A-levels. Doctor at Belfast Med. And, but we're clearly presenting this like we're idiots. Yeah. Like he's less of an idiot than me. Like, but we're comedians talking about history. And the amount you get pulled up on stuff on the YouTube comments, my God. The JFK episode in particular. And we're just presenting opinions that other people have had. And just people... Kieran got into a debate with some guy about cartridges, wasn't it?
But as soon as you start talking about the JFK thing, not only have you got history people, you've got conspiracy theory loons.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
And Kieran then puts this on our WhatsApp group, and I'm like, you pick your own battles and have them. But yeah, people will just pull you up for anything at all.
We did a drama about the Titanic, about the sinking of the Titanic. Serious drama. Very stupidly, we asked a couple of researchers, and see that word? Titanic? Titanorax? The conspiracy theories. Do not cross those points. It's like fucking punching somebody in the eye in LA for a little laugh.
Well, that the switch boat theory?
The switch boats theory, sorts of things. Yeah. And how dare you blame the captain? The captain was innocent and blah, blah, blah. And how many bulkheads there were.
She knows how many rivets are in the Titanic. Right. She knows how the sections of it. And how many rivets were in that, and how that couldn't have happened because of the
we
rivets.
Should have had her on the episode of Mysteries that's coming out in the Titanic in a couple of weeks, because we don't know a lot about it. But yeah,
it's mainly based on the Cameron movie from 1998.
I have never seen it.
You've never seen the movie Titanic?
As a point of honour, I have refused to watch it.
Watch Mysteries when it comes out, and you'll never have to.
I love the movie.
I'm very proud of the fact that
I love the movie. I thought it was great. But it's like Braveheart. Anything from Scottish history in my head comes from Braveheart. That's just the way it is, because I saw that before I looked up any of this kind of stuff.
So all of your Scottish history is based on Braveheart.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what period it happened.
Genuinely,
in
when I saw Mel Gibson,
Hadrian's Wall, and you're going and Braveheart.
The first movie I saw Mel Gibson after Braveheart, I was like, oh, he made it out. You know what I mean? I was like, he's doing movies now. It's just the way. I think it's the way. If I had read about Scottish history and then seen Braveheart, I go, okay, that's some of this bullshit. But in my head, that's all fact. So Blame Game series just finished. Are you going straight into another one of those anytime soon?
No. We'll find out on a need-to-know basis.
Oh, really? Right, okay.
It's like being in the RA. You get a phone call.
You have 15 minutes to get
it. Tells you where to be.
You're never right.
Do you prefer it when you travel with it, or when it just stays in...
Oh, in the studio? No, no, it's much better in the studio.
Better in the studio?
Yeah.
Well, something I like Derry.
I know, but yeah. I don't know. I like to get home.
Yeah.
Absolutely. When I found out that at that last Opera House run, I assumed it was like show at 8, show at 8 o'clock, or show at 8 7. O'clock. Half 7.
I know.
And they apologised. I said, do not apologize. Make it 7. Yeah. I love that. I'm thinking about doing also some adding some matinees in from now on. Oh. Like a 3, 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Instead, you're at home for Nolan Live at 10:30.
Exactly. Exactly. No, obviously, Jimmy I'll watch Dodger. It in the car on the way home. I was saying to Tim, love Stephen's holiday photos. Big fan.
Who's?
Steve Nolan.
Oh, how do you see
I said those? I haven't seen them because he's blocked me on Twitter.
Oh, I'm not on Twitter anymore.
I'll send you both some.
Really?
Stephen's out in California having a good time. Is he having a good time? He's literally living his best life.
Oh, right. Okay.
Of photographs of him doing what? In where?
Yeah.
They're all this. Just, he'll be in like the middle of, say, Santa Monica Boulevard, right?
Okay.
It's that in different locations.
Right.
Has he got one foot like to make it to elongate his body? Has he got one foot that way?
No, he's just
is he chilled? Is he wearing t-shirts?
He's having a good time.
Right.
He's away from the madness.
Right.
He deserves.
But he's got hands in his pockets and all the photographs.
All the photographs. Same head slightly tilted, wee cheeky grin. You know, glint in his eye.
Do you reckon somebody's taking that photograph and he's looked at it and went, not taking that one?
Yeah. Do you reckon? But he's blocked him, we've got to get you back together.
Well, yeah, no, he blocked me on Twitter for some things I say about him.
Yeah, totally fair.
Every time I mention, for some reason, he takes it personally. I don't know why. We're not best mates. It's one of those things. It's all right.
What would happen? What would happen if he was the next guest on this podcast and he came up? Would he say hello to you, or would he?
In the lift. Have you ever walked into the BBC and he's got in the lift?
Yes.
A very small lift.
Could be awkward, shall we say? Yeah, very awkward.
Do what we need to do? We need to book a gig on Rattling, the three of us do, and we'll bring Stephen over as part of it.
Yeah.
And we'll settle our differences.
That's a gig in the Rattling. Break bread. Well, that's it. You know, we could, you know, if peace breaks out in Northern Ireland.
Yeah. You and him on a jet ski? Michael, use the power of AI right now.
Put a delivery box in there.
I'll just my arms aren't long enough for the back. It's the front. No, don't go there.
Would you rather go front or back?
Yeah, well, don't go there.
Colin, I know you didn't just finish there, but where was your favourite venue to play?
Opera House.
Opera House.
Yep, hands down. Absolutely brilliant. Brilliant. And it's that wall noise you get back, and it doesn't even, not that it didn't sell well, but it doesn't even have to be full.
Yeah. No.
And because I think I only have one like property sold out night, and one nearly full and one that was a bit over half full, but it was brilliant.
Yeah.
And the noise is just fantastic. And everybody's there. Yeah. Everybody's just.
I would get more nervous from there than anyone else, especially when that curtain starts to come up.
Oh, it
takes a
curtain.
Long time to come up, and I just get nervous during that time. But it's great because when that curtain's down fully, it stops the sound.
Yep.
Pretty much. So it's so weird.
Up and you hear.
Because I take a minute to just stand on the stage sometime, and the whole audience are there waiting for the show, and they obviously you're just right behind, and then I'm moving, and it comes back up. But it was great. Like the very last one I did.
So you stand behind the safety curtain, so the big one that comes down.
The iron.
You know the iron? I stand behind the iron.
Yeah.
And just then, for about 30 seconds. And you can slightly hear them a bit. And it means I'm just on stage.
And are you revealed?
No. Then I'll walk off. Okay, and then when it comes up, I'll walk on. But the last show
you're
I did,
not like, you know, Naked Attraction.
It's no,
not
yeah. Like, yeah. My dad and a Speedos.
Yeah. See, brown legs.
There was a fight. There was a fight.
Was there?
They are the best venue at just dealing with stuff without you really knowing about it. Like they're on it, the staff are just great, but there was a guy who just went absolutely nuts, and it was a late show on a Saturday, and
another audience member, or you?
No, him, and this was during the support. So I had Andrew, Ryan, James McKegney opening for me that night, and Andrew was just about to bring James on. Andrew had done 10 minutes, bringing James on to do 10,
and he's like, what's going on here? We need to sort this. And it turned into like a 10-minute drama, kind of, because I was lucky that there was nothing in the whole run of shows, there was nothing like that. And yeah, guy ended up in sales. Yeah,
five women in the balcony, and it's the box at the front, and they were great. They were all chat, and five sisters out, and then in the second half they weren't there, and it was afterwards, wasn't that you were in, and they'd boked everywhere.
Oh,
like one of them had just like everywhere. It was red
in
wine,
the fancy boxes,
and they just left, but didn't tell the staff.
Right.
And the staff went afterwards and said, I've never seen so much boke. It was just...
Oh.
I was at the Delamere gig last year. Yeah. And the SSC, Chris Kent was on.
Oh, yeah, well, I was
at there was, oh, you were there? Yeah. The woman in the front who kept slobbering and being... Oh, what, absolutely off her head. But
for the whole show?
But really rude and obnoxious. And eventually Chris had to deal with her.
Yeah.
And she got really good. She said, NHS worker or something. She says, I save lives. And Chris went, oh, man, you're great at saving lives. Doesn't mean you're still not a cunt. And about 2,000 people went, yeah! And eventually they had to throw her out, didn't they?
Yeah.
I heard Frankie Boyle just did Waterfront. I had a few friends at it and they were like, just people just trying to wreck the show. Just trying to just... And I don't know, like, what has that all... I'm trying to think, is that
in
all...
In fairness... In fairness to him, he's sort of, you know, you
invite that.
Yeah,
right.
He's
right,
changed
right.
Now, like, but Frankie did for a long time. You know, what kind of fans do you think you're going to get, Frankie, with certain types of material?
Right. Oh, get you.
You're not going to get chin strokers in whenever you're doing.
Yes.
Jokes about Jordan's daughter or son. You know.
Yeah.
It's not,
Yes.
Yeah. It's all changed now, though.
People don't know how to behave in theatre.
But a lot of people, when they get in the theatre, tense up a bit, as opposed to being in a bar when they're in the theatre. They kind of...
I've noticed the thing is, people here, they don't, you know, the pre-orders for the interval drinks, that you can order your drink beforehand, and you can see people going, what do you mean you order your drink beforehand?
Yeah.
This is your drink beforehand, and it'll be over there in that table. What do you mean it'll be over there? Just sitting?
Yeah.
And everybody here immediately hears that and going, we're not bending it, we're nicking it. That's what we're doing, we're just going to nick interval drinks. Did nobody trust it? Nobody here trusts it. They're all up going, I'll buy my own drink, thank you very much. And they go and stand.
There's a load of gigs that are kind of popping up all over the place. And you've been doing like loads of clubs.
I've been doing loads of them. I've loads of them lined up.
Yeah. Are you loving that?
Yeah.
Because places you probably never played before. Nope. And
there was one in Bangor. It was brilliant.
Courthouse.
The Grand Social.
Right.
Yeah. And Gary Pollock.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant.
His Port Rush gig was great too.
And I'm doing that.
There's millions of them. There's I've been asked to do a couple. There's one in Lisbon in a cafe.
Yes. Thornbury's.
Yeah.
Done that. There was the Moy.
Yeah, it was great too. It was great.
A bit rough.
Yeah. I mentioned Armagh or something. Yeah. 10 minutes of Tyrone Armagh. Yeah. People going, yes. Yeah, okay.
I did a thing and I think they mistook it and took it a different way and started cheering. I went, going, no. I thought I've restarted the Troubles.
That's how Hitler started.
Oh, I'm doing one in the Elk on Saturday, this Saturday.
The Elk?
It's great. I did an outdoor one there.
Yes.
On the way to Derry.
An indoor one.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Yep. It's great.
It's going to be... I'm looking forward to that one. Because it's one of those places you drive past all the time.
Yeah.
And
what goes on in there?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a big complex.
Yeah. It used to be always just like teenagers darting across. Yeah. Teenage disco or something that they did.
During COVID, I did an outdoor tour.
Yeah.
And that was one of the places. And they set up in a beer garden. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
That outdoor tour, every show, the weather was 10 out of 10.
Really?
Every show. It's brilliant.
Global warming, isn't it?
Have you done the Wall Garden in Bangor?
No, I haven't. People have talked about that. Yeah,
Neil did it. Said it's brilliant.
Incredible.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Andrew Rand's got me doing one.
On the golf club? Golf club.
Genuinely, yeah.
Boy.
It's great.
It's fantastic.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's really good.
A couple of weeks.
Brilliant. And they're not, they were golfy, but you were able to take the piss out of them.
Oh, well, yeah.
I do golf clubs. I hate golf, and I do golf clubs.
Oh,
and
see, I can't.
The piss out of them. Yeah, no, I don't like
something. I was looking at the photographs on the wall before I went in, and I wanted to kill everybody. I had backstories for everybody in the photographs.
Yeah.
He's in jail. That's a pedo. You know, just everything, you know what I mean?
Tim, when does the Get My Happy Tour start?
29th of February. Right up to the 30th of March, so we were all over the province.
Yeah.
Starting Armagh. Armagh's good. I always liked Armagh. Yeah. Armagh's a great
venue. Never done the Big Room.
The Big Room? Never done the Big Room? Or
no.
What?
I think I had a bad one in the small room, and it put me off doing it for a while.
So when you tour, you don't play there?
No, but I did. I did the City Hotel last time. Which
take more money, or see if you play there, you bring your own PA in.
See the way, but the layout was so it's like a big long shoebox of a room.
Oh right.
And they put the stage like at the very end of it, whereas it had been in the mid. Now, if I know if I was doing it again, you put it in the middle, because it was right at the end, and you just. It's 1,000 people, but it goes on. But it's like 6 to a row, so the people at the very back, right. You just can't see them.
It's like being in a really long bus.
Yeah, but I'd like to. I would like to do that theatre. Actually, I will do it.
It's Armagh. There's boys at the back can see. All right.
Yeah.
Rifle scope. Took us off the bar at late 50.
When I did that City Hotel gig, I pulled up to it, and there was a guy in a high vis sitting at the thing, and he goes. Car park's full, and I went, oh, and I'm so awkward about all this stuff. I was like, oh, I'm the obviously comedians in London, or it'll be like Smash Show. I was like, I'm the guy doing I'm the boy who's
the boy
performing the, well, I'm technically a man, but I'm doing the performance. And the guy goes, you can park up at the Spa, and I went, could I try? And he goes, you can park up at the Spa, yeah, and then you can see what they do. And I was like, you know, I'm the performer. And he goes, yep, go to the Spa. And then he walked away and I chanced it and there was loads of spaces. But it was a humbling moment when you're told, go to the Spa, you know?
Well, I would say is I'm one of the acts.
Yeah, I'm one of the acts.
One of the acts.
Yes.
He understands the word act. I don't think he understood the word performer.
No, no.
He thought you were some sort of sex worker.
Yeah.
It was in the City Hotel, room 35, late. He's expecting me.
Yeah, there and the theatre in Lorne, I want to play, but they seem
the McNeil?
I think I'm blacklisted from it. I'm not joking.
The McNeil Theatre in
Lorne? Yeah, I think I'm blacklisted from it.
The guy who ran Theatre at the Mill used to give me a hate piece and never let us in.
That seems like the perfect area.
Yeah, he's gone now. There's a new guy who runs it. And I've been in with a blame game, done stuff on my own in Theatre of the Mill, perfectly happy, daddy da, and then he just hated giving me a hate piece.
I did.
I don't know what we did to him sometimes.
I've told it on the podcast before, but on that outdoor tour, finish with Theatre at the Mill in their big courtyard.
Yeah.
And it was sold, it was going to be great. Two sport acts, William and Aaron, were opening, and I was doing 40 minutes, but it was advertised as that. It was like after COVID, throwing some new material about, let's see what happens. And everywhere else, it had been two sport acts doing 40 between them, break, and I do 40. And it was grand. And we got up there, and they were like, just to check the running times, I was like, boys will do 40, 20-minute break, I'll do 40. And the lady was like, no, you need to check your contract. I was like, I don't even think we'd sign contracts for that. Like, there'd been no shows for ages.
Yeah.
There's an audience out there, full, waiting to go. And she was like, this show needs to be a minimum of 2 hours. And I went, it can't be, unless you have the longest interval of all time.
Yeah.
And she's like, interval has to be 20 minutes. You've got to fill the time. And I said, like, nobody will care. Like, people here are just here for a bit of a set. I said it's going to be a shorter set in my posts anyway.
Yeah.
She's like, you need to check the contract. So I phoned my manager. I was like, can you speak to someone? And they were like, the guy who deals with it is off. This lady's taking his place. You're kind of going, they do, she is technically right, we have signed a contract. So I had to phone in like the Avengers of local comedy. I was like, Jordan Robinson left the shopping trolley in Newton Breda Tesco's and came straight. I was parachuting in every, people are retired, 20 hours, bringing in that crazy prices guy. I was getting everybody in, and it was like the longest support lineup in history. And everyone's like, what do you want, the 10 minutes set? I was like, an hour. I want an hour.
That'd be a great scene. Just the idea of Jordan and a thing. And then Jim McGaw comes over to play. It's Hanoi. Jordan Robinson, please report.
Tim of the Lagan.
Somebody else in the jet ski.
Comedians Galler. Yeah.
But it ended up great. But it was the only time I've ever had a venue say something about a contract. Because they're normally so easy going, like, you know the crack for us.
Well, no, apart from corporate ones, I had a corporate one that, or several corporate ones, and these are the list of words you're not allowed to use.
Oh.
And they're listed.
I've never had that.
Specifically listed. These were ones in London.
Right.
Specifically listed. Do not use.
But then that's all that's going to be in your head.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you use these words, you will not be paid in capital letters.
God.
And that's all you're thinking.
Yeah.
And you sort of want to write them on your hand so you won't say them, but yeah, at the same time, you don't want to write them on your hand.
Did they miss any out?
Uh-huh. No.
No.
Well, they did.
Did they miss a couple of you go?
Well, they missed local ones that you sort of could have, you know, gone there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fuck with.
Knob slabber.
So Tim, tour starts in February.
Yeah.
And tours all over the place.
Tours all over Northern Ireland, and then a week in the Opera House in the end of March.
We'll put a link to it.
Three nights in Derry in the Millennium as well.
It's another great venue.
Love the Millennium. We stay up for a couple of nights, have a great time.
Is Nando's there, Tim?
Is there?
Nando's the Richmond Centre. Yeah. Don't you worry about that. Oh,
and well, you've got Loch Foyle, of course. You know, I get a jet ski.
Yeah.
Loch Foyle. Probably joined Foyle Search and Rescue.
Charity work.
Are you going to be touring again this year?
No. That's why I'm going all these wee things, trying out bits of stuff, and so I'm doing loads of wee ones, and Elk is this week, and then I'm off on holidays, and then. I'm down south. I'm doing gigs.
I'm thinking of doing a one-man show. Apparently, any fucker can do it.
trust me, they can.
Seriously?
Yeah.
So, no, seriously, I'm
stand-up tour.
Yeah,
of course.
What do you need? An hour or so?
An hour and a load of supports.
According to Theatre at the Mill, you need four. 50.
50?
Anything from 50.
What do you need? An hour 10?
An hour and 15.
I go an hour 10, but 50's good. You need 50.
50, is that all you do?
No, I do an hour and 10, but you could do 50.
Right.
50's fine. You
speak slowly then, basically. Yes.
Yeah. Do a raffle, get Kieran to arrange a raffle.
Yeah, do a raffle.
Yeah.
Would you both do raffling if we can arrange it?
Oh, I do raffling, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, let's do it.
Yeah.
Like in the summer or something?
Yeah. I was on raffling once for a charity thing for Special Olympics.
Right.
And was actually brought off a raffling island on a British Army helicopter. Which was
right. Oh.
It wasn't supposed to be.
Gig went that badly.
Airlifted off.
Lifted off the island.
Colin, Tim, thanks very much for coming on the pod. Appreciate
you're very
it
well.
As always.
Yeah, that was
thanks
good
for the last minute travel to get here. I never made
it. Do I get paid more for doing the full thing that he gets 20%?
Two speed cameras as well. Two vans.
Yeah, there's two of them. There's two of them, mate.
But boys, slash the legs. So slammed the brakes on the way.
So what do we get? Free tea or what? A manscape?
We'll give you a manscape. Should have given you before you went to the Maldives, Tim. could have got you some ball deodorant or whatever you want.
Ball deodorant?
We've got ball deodorant.
Is that literally for your balls or a deodorant with a ball?
Deodorant for your balls.
Just your balls? Yeah, Mickey could be stinking. Is it no Mickey stick? Is it no Mickey stick?
We'll get with everything. Crop gel, ball toner.
Can I have a sniff of the ball deodorant?
Of course you can.
Right.
Oh. Ball deodorant, anti-chafing. Is there not two Fs in chafing?
Not these days.
Should be.
Americans.
Chaffing. Maybe wrong.
Crop preserver. Right. Directions. Boxers. Take a shower, then toil off.
Skip boxers.
Oh, why?
Until your goodies are dry.
Crop soother ball after shave lotion. So after you shave it.
After you shave.
Your balls.
Who shaves their balls?
Tim.
What's
Tim,
going on with
this? Will go viral. Take your trousers off. Give them a shear.
See his face. Can you imagine what that's like down below?
Thanks, folks.
ZZ Top.
Don't you miss it.
One, two, three. Good afternoon.
See the West Link.
That is the horniest thing I've ever heard.
Come on,
Marvin. Bring daddy some of those chicken and waffles.
Mr. Potter.
I feel gushy.
This is unbelievable.
This is absolute chaos.
Sipper, God love you. If you've made it all the way through this episode, that means you love Tea With Me, you love this podcast, or it means like you've drifted off and you've just left this on and play. Either way, what you need to do is head over to our Patreon. If you enjoy the podcast and you want more tea, that's where you go. We do a bonus episode called The Special Brew every Monday and a live stream podcast every Friday with some of your favorite comedians. You can chat, interact, ask questions. When we announce live podcasts, you get early access to tickets with a little bit of a discount on there. And there is so much more. You can go back and watch, I think, nearly 1,000 hours of content. Tea With Me, Patreon, which is patreon.com/teawithmepodcast. The link is in the description. I'll see you there.